what you've done, for the way that you're so faithful to us every day, Lord. Lord, we just lift you up this morning. We say that we're here for you and you alone this morning. That being with you in your presence, Lord, is the greatest gift we could ever have. It's the greatest privilege. It's the greatest pleasure, the greatest joy that we could ever have, is to be here in your presence. So we welcome you here this morning with praise, Jesus. We welcome you here with our praise.
Creation. Thank you. Wonderful.
They save us. They've saved us. They've redeemed us. We are brought into your family because of these scars. Each and every one of them you did out of love. Each and every one of them you humbled yourself and you said, yes, I will take this whip. I will take this whip because I love you. My son, I love you, my daughter. We thank you, Jesus, that there is nothing that we could have done. If we went through what you went through, how would we have been able to even function? Would we even have been able to continue to keep going and look to the Father and say, Father, this is out of love. This is out of love. Because God so loved us that he sent his son, that as we believe in him, none shall perish, but all will have everlasting life because of these scars, because of dying on the cross, because of rising again, because he first and foremost was saying, yes, Father, I will go to earth. I will humble myself as a babe. In this Christmas season, as we're remembering that time, when Jesus came as a baby, helpless, not even able to verbalize, needing a mother, needing a father, the King of this universe humbled himself to need a father and mother, a human one, because he loved us so much. And he went through this life here on earth just like we are. And then he said, it's not my will, but your will be done, Lord. And he went to the cross for us. And so today, just continuing to remember that, for those that are here that have fully given their lives 100% to Jesus and said, yes, you are my Lord. Yes, you are my Savior. There are communion cups under your seat. And if you haven't said that yet and fully said, Jesus, I want you to have everything because you loved me so much that you took the scars on your back, the scars on your body for me out of love. Today is another opportunity for you to say yes to that. Another opportunity to say, Jesus, I give you everything. My life is yours. I recognize you as my Savior, and I give you my life as my Lord. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you died and rose again to forgive us of our sins, so that we can be in eternal life with you. And so as we're remembering, Father, your body that was broken, for those of us that have said yes to you, Jesus, we just take of your body that you broke for us. We remember that, your humility, your heart of love is so beautiful. And your blood that was poured out, Jesus, something that we could never do, and you did out of love. You did out of seeing each and every person. If you were the only individual on this world, Jesus still would have bled out for you. If you're the only one, it's not because of the masses of people. It's because of you. It's because of his love for you. His great, great love for you. So Jesus, I just thank you for this blood that was shed, this mark of love for us, that we may have eternal life with you. So we just take this as a remembrance, Father, of Jesus pouring his blood out for us as a thank you, as a reminder, as I love you too. We thank you, Jesus.
So I just want to give a huge, huge thank you and big clap to the Lord for all that he did yesterday at the Gift of Christmas. It was truly, truly amazing. We're so grateful and blessed to have so many guests here with us this morning that were guests with us yesterday. Thank you for coming. Your beautiful faces. I'm so excited to see you here this morning. And we just want to continue to celebrate all that the Lord did. And I also personally want to give a huge shout out to each and every one of our volunteers. Last night, as I was falling asleep, I just kept thinking of different people, like, oh, I just really want to text them and thank them so much. And all these people just kept running through my head. So seriously, thank you, each and every one of you, for what you all did.
I just want to echo that. We're going to watch a little video in a second. But I'm just asking, if you were involved in serving and helping, preparing the meals, preparing beforehand, weeks ago, months ago, in any way, shape, or form, if you went shopping, you were able to help later on during the Christmas program, everything, would you please just stand up? This is for the glory of God. If you were able to be part of that. Look at this effort. Thank you. I say thank you, Jesus. This goes to the Lord. This is glory to the Lord because he sees you. You know, it's nice to know that we're seen, but it's really better to know that he sees us, right? We all want to feel like everybody sees us too, but that's not why we're standing. We're standing because we're saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being behind this. Everything from the beginning to the end was about Jesus. And I really believe the beautiful ones, and some are with us today. Can you wait? Can you stand up if you were one of our guests yesterday and you're here? Hey! Whoa, come on, shout out. One more big cheer for these guys. This is great. Praise God. Thank you so much. And we heard a lot of things from some of you yesterday, last night, and then Ashley was filling me in this morning. And there's so many testimonies. It's like, Lord, we need all day just for those, just to hear what you did. But it was so glorious. All I can say is it was supernatural. It was love on steroids. From the beginning to the end. It's one of the greatest days of my own personal walk in life with the Lord. I love it every year, so it's just such a joy. So set your calendars for the first one of, we're not sure yet, we haven't looked at it, but the beginning of December for next year. So set your calendar, your hearts for that so that we can serve as many people as possible. So we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. When I watched people, I was standing over here on the side when Pastor Bill was preaching the gospel, and I saw many of you, I'm sure, you're here today for a reason, just almost running. Some were just scurrying up to the front, like quickly, like, whoa. And one young little boy, 10 years old, I don't know if he's here today. Latrell, are you here? He's not here today. But anyway, we met in Walmart with his mom, Millie. And Millie was very sick, and she had a real hurt place in her face and her tooth, and it was falling apart and everything. And she was in a lot of pain, and he was being this wonderful kid he is. I love that kid. But he's full of energy at 10 years old. And so when we prayed and she was healed, Jesus was healing her just like on the spot. So cool. And he said, God did this. God did this. And she wasn't so sure where this power came from or what happened. But when she stood up and said, the pain's all gone, he said, he had already said, I'm going to do backflips if God touches my mom. So all through the night last night, I said, we're getting those backflips really soon, you know. But he's just a great kid. But we had different things like that happen. And then two people who couldn't even make it back here from Walmart for a lot of reasons, they got saved. Genuinely born again, saved before they left Walmart. It was so cool. And so last night there was a wave of just salvation, healing, deliverance, encouragement, just freedom for people. So many said, I just feel God. I felt Holy Spirit. It was so great. And you know what? It wasn't just many of you, our guests were now even more than that. We just didn't know you before. So your family, now you're here. We just didn't know you as that way. We spent the day with you. So we invite you into that even more. But there were other people who served yesterday, and they were either born again, recommitted to Jesus, receiving someone, something, and it was so beautiful just to see the beauty of God's holiness just come and just wash through this place like a mighty wave. That was so glorious, to give God glory for that. So I just wanted to add my 10 cents to that, and then Ash is going to tell us about a video that she put together.
Yeah, so just want to continue to give Lord glory. So we'll watch this video and see all that he did.
Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore you. God of glory, Lord of love, and hearts unfold like flowers opening to the sun above.
His name is Jesus. He's inviting you into his family. He's inviting you into his kingdom. I give you my whole life. If he gave his whole life for me on the cross,
we'll have more later. It was a late night last night. And so, you know, when you're here, it's like, we're caught up in all that. And you did a great job, Ash. But we have more pictures and more videos and things that we can show later as a testimony. But before we get on to something else, Pastor Jose sent us a clip of Sharon Rose. And I'm going to ask Troy to come up, and he can interpret what she's singing. Sharon is 14 years old, and she's a psalmist. And she lives in the Word of God. She's just a typical teenager, really cool. I love her to pieces. But she loves the Word. She's in the Word. She sings the Word. And so he was standing next to her. So he sent us about a one-minute clip, and then some kid gets up there towards the end and starts playing the drums, and we cut it off at one point because it couldn't hear her anymore because it was so great. He just couldn't help himself. It was wonderful. And then there's this short clip from Basha and Pastor Jacob John and his wife, Ina, have a little girl, and she's 12, and she's also a psalmist. And what she does is she gets online. She does this all the time. It's just such a humbling joy to be around her by video right now, because she loves to get online, and she speaks. English is not her first language at all, so she's speaking her Indian dialect. But she gets on and she goes to different languages, and then she memorizes what she sees. It's just crazy. So she's singing this out. You'll hear it in English. And it's beautiful, and it's taken from 1 Peter 1:3. So Troy, if you can translate what Sharon Rose is singing, that would be better. You're better at this than I am.
I will try to translate it. Song.
about Jesus. Yes. In love, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yes, an English song in Portuguese, but I don't know. There you go. Using your mouth to praise the Lord. Good job, Tiana. Singing is not my best translating.
I want you, Jesus. So Pastor Jose works with, he does many, many different things, as you know. He works with young people as well and helps them with recordings and raising up the next generation, which we love at such a young age. And you know that little boy I was telling you about that was 10 years old? You know, he, as I was walking by, he didn't know I was one of the leaders here or anything like that. We just connected. So I'm walking by last night and he goes, "Hey, come here, sit down, let's have dinner together." So we sat together, it was so great. But when he first came in here, now I'm not espousing this for all you guys to do it, okay? I'm just saying. When he first came in yesterday, he walked right up to the keys, and he sat down on the keys, and he pretended he was playing "There's No Power On." So I prophesied over him, and I told him, I said, "You're going to be on the keys. You're going to be a worship leader for Jesus someday." He just looked at me. Because that's what I saw in the Spirit. Because the Lord's raising up our young ones. He's saying, come on, let's make room for these people, all of us, and get them going. That's kind of where we are, thinking the same and trusting God's going to work out all the holy chaos. He's going to work out all the bumps and stuff that kids and all of us can carry at times. And he's going to help them step into who they are, which I dearly love. And so when this lady who wasn't so sure, I was telling you about Millie, she wasn't so sure where the power came from. When we were sitting at dinner, I told her, I said, "Hey, listen, when you hear the person preaching or speaking up here," I said, "pay really close attention, because you're really going to be touched by God today, and he's going to show you who he is, and he's going to change you, and you're going to be receiving him." Just talking generally in a fun way, but very serious. And she just looked at me. And you know who the first one was up here, her little boy. He ran up and buried his head right here, 10-year-old little boy. And then she came up over here. She still had a completely healed tooth and mouth. And she is so beautiful. And she said, "My mind has been changed today." And I went, "Wow, this is so great." So it was full circle for this family, and they had hope. So before you listen to Basha, I just want to, again, if we can put up 1 Peter 1:3 in the NASB, that would be great. If anybody can do that. If not, I can read it. Because that's what she is singing out, and then it is at the end, but it's filled with hope. I can just tell you that last night and this morning, and I'm not preaching from it actually, but I read the book of 1 Peter, and it's only 5 chapters, so if you want a good read in this Christmas time, just sit down and read 1 Peter, and you will be just amazed at how glorious the gospel is, and then what our responsibility is to that glorious gospel, in response to the glorious gospel. And it's just beautiful during this Christmas time. But this scripture, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is so great. He causes us to be born again. So last night, we were able to be in the presence of our living Savior and Lord. And the gospel that was presented so beautifully by Pastor Bill is non-compromising. It's not "give Jesus a try." Right, guys? This is Jesus, and this is about Jesus. And we know that you're hurting, broken, and lost. All of us are or have been. And we're still being restored by Jesus in many ways. But this is about him. Let me tell you about him and who he is and what he's like, how much he loves you. But this is about him. So when you're coming up to offer your entire self. It was so powerful, so beautiful. all the compromise and all the half stuff was taken out, and everybody, it seemed, responded, whether they came up or whether they were sitting in the back. It was just the glorious, I believe, just sweep of the Holy Spirit last night. So I thank you that Pastor Bill preaches a very non-compromising gospel. It's not an easy, greasy, smashy stuff that really, I think, presses grace down. He lifted up Jesus and gives the gospel its due, and it's glorious. And when we do that, angels are drawn, the power of God comes, and that's what happened last night. Power was here. Power of the Holy Ghost was here last night to transform all of us. I'm changed from being there last night and throughout the day, but particularly last night. So thank you all for all your efforts in the culmination of the Holy Spirit coming as a major tsunami at the end, where love was released the entire day from morning to night. And the young people watching you guys out there serving everybody, I was really touched. I just got to highlight David. Where are you, David? Because we were talking over here, a couple of the teens and I were just talking. I think Judah and some guy who had graduated from Lake Center last year. Is that Tommy? Okay, Tom. And David was there. And I had introduced them to Millie, who was sitting over here. Millie, again, who got healed and radically saved. And so I was talking to her. And then I went back and I started talking to the guys. And David said to me, I think she wants, you need to talk to her a little bit more. I said, you're right. I went back over and talked to her a little bit more. I was just really touched by that. It was very sensitive. But there are many things I can give a shout out for all of you were like that. You were paying attention to detail of what was needed, what was very important to make people feel good and comfortable and loved. And I'd like to see where God takes this. You know, we do what we can do for Gift of Christmas, but you know, have a lot of ideas for the region, for the city of Canton and all of that, that stem from love, but with mercy, grace, and power attached, not compromising, so there's no mixture. What we don't want to do is grieve the Holy Spirit, and we don't want to quench him. And we're going to go through some scriptures after we release the young ones to their classes. But there's one more from Basha I want you to see. So go ahead, let's play that. I think it's about a minute or so. Minute and a half. Christ, my living hope.
How great the past.
Turn it up, please.
That lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. A desperation I took to heaven. Spoke your name into the night. When through the darkness, your loving kindness, but to the shadows of my soul, the work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who can imagine so great the mercy? Well, how could follow such immense grace? The God of ages, sit down for glory, to win my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings, boldly discerned. Beautiful Savior, I'm God's forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Here's a scripture at the end. Okay. Isn't that beautiful? The scripture that I just quoted to you from 1 Peter 3, or 1 Peter 1, 3 was up there as well, but that's okay. So she's living that way. And there's such peace and joy in that household. They're not too busy, but they're doing the work of the kingdom. So they know how to rest, how to lay down, but how to let the devil know who's in charge. So there's a lot of authority coming from that place where there's no compromise, where there's no quenching, or that's their desire anyway. Bless you. That's their desire. So praise the Lord. For those who have classes, which would be everybody, please go to your classes. That'd be awesome. And if you could turn in your Bibles to Luke, we're going to go back to chapter 1. We were there a couple of weeks ago and want to highlight a few things during this Christmas season. So if you'll look at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 26, and we're going to go to 45. And then we'll spend a little bit of time in the Magnificat. Okay? So if you want to turn in your Bibles to that. I want this to become very familiar to you so that during, as we're approaching Christmas, you're thinking about these verses. When we're caroling, when we're out doing stuff, whatever it would be, we're thinking about these things. Amen? Next week, we have some things going on. We're going to be meeting here after church, and we're going to have some kind of lunch, and then we're going to go downtown. We're going to go to the homeless again, but they have a physical place to stay. They have Skyline Terrace, so we have territory marked out there and connections there, and we're going to have a Christmas, call it the Christmas Community Outreach. And we do carol because we think that's anointed and believe that's anointed and give them gifts of cookies. But we're not just Christmas carolers who walk down the street. We go into the places that are difficult. We go into the buildings, and we knock on doors, and we believe that when we're carrying the power of God, the joy of God, the truth of the Lord, that things change. And when they open the door, some of them won't even open the door, then we really want to bless them. We pray for them. Many times we'll have healings. They end up burying their soul. So it's kind of like a little gift of Christmas, but it's fast moving. So we do this each year, many years down there. So anyway, we're going to do that for a few hours. And then I think that's over at 4:30. And then at 7, there is going to be another community outreach. We're not putting that on or anything. And it's called What a Wonderful. Hello. Thank you, Josh. Thanks, Andy. Anyway, this is going to be on Sunday at 7, and the community in Canton is invited out for this live radio broadcast, and Mikey and David are going to be participating in that, and they have practice tonight and had practice last Sunday, and so there are going to be a lot of people. It's free. It's a community event. And there will be many people going to that who need Jesus. And that's all of us, but many people who don't understand. They're into maybe the Christian or non-Christian tradition, but maybe they're into the holiday season. Maybe they love It's a Wonderful Life, and maybe they know Jesus. I don't know, but I do know this. It's an opportunity for the gospel, the pure gospel to be given. And we are trusting that's going to happen. And even no matter what it looks like, it may not look like Gift of Christmas, but there will be people there, and they are open. And so anybody who wants to go, we know a couple of us, a few of us will be going. Our family will be going. So then after this outreach downtown, we can meet for dinner somewhere and then go over. So the day keeps going. It's going to be a wonderful day. So we want to support what God is breathing on. And so any time that we are going out into the community in any way, shape, or form, we want to be completely consumed with the Spirit of the living God ourselves. If we are not, then we can carry in mixture, and then we can join with the mixture that's there, wherever it is. And that even goes for what we're doing down at Skyline Terrace. So our hearts before the Lord is what He's caring about and looking at. And then say, what will you do with what I've given you? What will you do with where I'm sending you? And it's with that heart in mind as well as we're preparing for Christmas, which is all year, but particularly right now, that we are looking at Luke chapter 1 again. And again, we're very familiar with this passage of Scripture speaking from the very beginning, and blessed is she who believes there will be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to the Lord. That's the end. We're going to the beginning, Justin. Okay, the beginning, Luke chapter 1, and we're over in verse 26. Did you hear that? Maybe that didn't come through or something. You got it? Okay, good. So we're starting with 26, and then we're going to 45, okay, and then we'll go to the Magnificat after that. But it's really important to take some of the experiences that we've had already this week, the week before, everything leading up to this, and let it run through the grid of the Scripture, because anything that we're holding fast to because it feels right and it feels good, if it's not scripturally based, it won't last. Feelings will fade. Memories will go. But the Lord says, stand on my word. Let it be done unto me according to thy word, because in his presence is fullness of joy. So Mary was in his presence, and we're going to take a look at that. And there are a couple scriptures also, I don't know if Ashley gave them to you, dealing with a prophecy from the Old Testament in Isaiah. And there's also a dream that Joseph had. So you can check with her on that. So it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin. Very important word. Some people, we sing it, but we don't understand why that's so important sometimes. But it really is. And I came from a tradition. I came from a background where I heard that my entire life. But what it led me to was believing that Mary herself was so set apart that she was sinless. I didn't understand that as a wee little girl, but I even went to the school and the church back when I was growing up in outside of Chicago, and it was called Immaculate Conception. Well, I always thought that was about Jesus, but it wasn't. It was about Mary, because the teaching within the Catholic realm is that Mary was immaculately conceived, meaning that she was born without sin. That is not true. That is not true. And so when people believe that, it can affect them in their understanding of the pure gospel, the pure, unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that he gave us. So it's very important. What I would like to add is that when we ignore those things, we could be quenching or resisting the Holy Spirit, because we are not speaking out and understanding what the truth is to help somebody else get free from something that could harm them, maybe not at that moment, but later. So we have a responsibility. So when I was first coming to Jesus, and I mentioned it yesterday, last night, and I said that when I opened myself up and I said, if and when, think about those words, make no sense. If and when. But that shows you where I was in trying to figure everything out. You show me who you are. I said, I will give you my entire life. That came from the Holy Spirit. He gave me the faith to be able to say that. He drew me, just like it says in 1 Peter 1:3, that he brings us to that place. So if you're with people who need Jesus, which is everywhere we are, then we're carrying the truth, and we need to know the truth. And when we know the truth sets us free to be able to help free others properly, okay? And when we understand the truth, God will make a way. So for me, when I said, I will give you my entire life, I said also these words. I said, I will follow you. I will trust you. I will walk in truth. I only want the truth. And I will love you and serve you the rest of my life. I have it written somewhere, but in essence, that's what I said. But truth was part of it. So when it came to me, once I realized what the gospel fully was, and it was simply given, I said, that's it. And then whatever was up in this brain of mine went into my heart. And then the transformation took place. So when I asked the Lord, what is the truth, as I was going through and searching, still searching for truth, then a lot of these things, including this very scripture, came to me. And I knew that I knew that I knew it wasn't true. What I had been taught, what I had lived, what I had made a little altar to as a little girl, as a pure-hearted little girl who still carried sin, just didn't know what to do with that. It was all challenged, but I can tell you the truth. Because I asked, I presented myself the way Pastor Bill offered to everybody yesterday, to present yourself and invite Jesus, not just to come into your heart, but you give him 100%, you give him yourself. I mean, we had people who were desperate yesterday, have tried Jesus before and it didn't work. You know how that goes. And maybe for some of us, then he was very open and candid. It was a powerful presentation of the pure gospel. But people were given the pure gospel, and they were designed to respond, even with their hurts, even with their pains, even with their ailments, even with the trauma, even with the infirmity. They responded to the gospel. Conviction of the Holy Spirit came. Pastor Bill is just a man, but he gave the pure, full gospel. It released, I believe, the fullness of conviction of Holy Spirit. And when the conviction came, faith was in the room. People were beautifully repenting and renouncing. And they saw Jesus for who he was. They saw their Father in heaven. They felt such a heavenly hug. Father's heart, Father's love was so released. But it was laced, and it was laced with great hope, which is what Basha was thinking about. It wasn't just, This is your dad and he loves you. Yes, that's true. And yes, he took 9 months in creating you. Yes, that's true. But this is who he is in doing all of that. These are some demonstrations. But he needed to send Jesus, and here's why. You give people that message without shrinking back and apologizing, things will change. So let me just go on, and you'll see. And this scripture is so alive. And you can use this. All of this with your family and friends, because when you're filled with the truth and you're filled with joy, oh, Jesus changes everything. Amen. Okay, let's keep going. To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Important that she was a virgin. Okay, her womb, everything was being prepared to be impregnated by God himself, all right? But saying that she was a virgin was saying that she had not been with a man, but she still was a person who needed a Savior. If she was sinless, she would not need a Savior, okay? Think about that. It doesn't matter how many times we say to someone or they say to us, but we don't venerate and we don't idolize and we don't. Listen. Unless Jesus is supreme above all else, and Mary has her place as blessed among all women, there's room for great error, which can take people away from how they are completely freed from their sin. Okay? Because most of my old and current friends who still believe that, they cannot understand, they have not been able to receive the pure gospel that we're cleansed of all unrighteousness. And we become new creatures in Christ. The old is gone, the new is here. And the Lord will spend our entire lifetime to help us see that so that we can walk in real freedom and we can walk in the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom. This may generate some questions for some of you, but I can tell you that there are always answers because Jesus came to set us free in all areas. Amen. Okay, so I could say more about that, but I'm not going to right now. So let's just continue on. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Continue. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So the Lord had already spied her, knew when she was going to be born, knew the lineage she would come from, where Joseph would come from, because Jesus needed an earthly father. All of these things, our Father in heaven knows the bloodline that Jesus would be born into. He came as a human. He actually was born as a human, but fully God. So he is the God-man. That makes no sense. That it can only be understood supernaturally because God gives us the faith to believe it. And it's in the Word. So the Word is alive. It cannot fool us because it is from heaven. And you can see those who respond to the Word of God, the full gospel of the kingdom, then they become different. We become changed. We become Christ in us, the hope of glory. That means that God himself, who promises to take up residence inside of us, actually does it. And that means that wherever we go, that we are literally carrying the Spirit of the living God inside of us. It doesn't matter where we are. And we may try to figure out, do they know Jesus? Do they know Jesus? Do they know Jesus? And we may not know. People can sound really good, but not be transformed. People can sound like they got this, but not have experienced the miracle of the new birth. We need a miracle. It is a miracle. What happened last night was miraculous. We're not that good, none of us, to be able to put on a presentation and show enough love and maybe they'll get it. It's not like that. Well, maybe they'll trust God enough, give them one more big blow, and then that all goes to pot. It's got to be Jesus himself or the Spirit of the living God coming in. It doesn't mean we don't love. It doesn't mean that we don't care. Okay? One of the little boy I was telling you about, he was so cool. He said to his mom, little Latrell, he said, at first, before he gave his life to Jesus, okay, before he came up here, he said, well, this is all real nice. He said, but I don't want people to be nice to me because of God. I want them to be nice to me because of me. That's what he said. I didn't hear it, but that's what his mom told me. And I said, oh, I understand. I wasn't going to correct her. She didn't even know Jesus. I said, I get you. It's okay. And so he came back and ate some more pie or whatever and gave him another big hug. And I said, I really like you. And he goes, why? And I said, well, I like your curly hair. And he goes, well, that's cool. Why else? And I said, you're just amazing. Everything about you, I just like you. The minute I saw you, I just wanted to be around you. I like being with you. And Jesus loves you very much. Okay. So who I carry is telling him, beginning to tell him who he is. But you can't leave it there because he came up here bowing down, repenting of his sin and receiving Jesus with joy. Like, really? Yes, that's the miracle of the gospel. If we want to be bold enough to believe what Mary was asked to believe, what others are asked to believe, what we're all actually asked to believe and then carry. So these are just a couple of examples, but it was real, real, you know, truth that happened yesterday. Okay. The angel said, don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. I think that's kind of cool to hear from a supernatural being, don't you? Wouldn't you love to hear that? It was amazing. It's like, oh my gosh. And behold, you will conceive in your womb. Not maybe. You will. When Jesus says through a messenger, any other way, you will or I will, it's going to happen. We just have to get ourselves out of the way because we don't trust, we don't believe many times. But we really need to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to know his voice. We really do. It's so important. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. I mean, come on, guys. Can you imagine Mary? Can you imagine at that moment? We've sung the song. Kennedy did a great job last night. Mary, did you know? And then we played it a couple weeks ago as well. Mary, did you know that your son would be this amazing God? Well, she was told, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. God didn't say, so how do you feel about that? What's going on? What's your life been like? How much trauma have you had? I'm not mocking that. I'm very sensitive to people who are hurting. I want to be anyway. So I'm not making fun of that. But let's put God where he needs to be. And then help people have hope. When this lady told me yesterday, Millie, she said, oh, you know, the pain's going away, but it's just a placebo. I said, oh, Millie, it's Jesus. No, it's a placebo. And then her son said what he said. Mom, God's touching you. It was so fun. And we actually did a little video. I don't know where I'll show it. Probably not. And she said, yeah, the pain's going, but it's just a placebo. So when she stood up and she was completely healed, she goes, yeah, there's nothing there at all. And then little Terrell got in that second video. Somebody else took it. Okay? He got in the second one, and she said, yeah, there's no pain, but, you know, it's just still a placebo. And I said, oh, it's Jesus, you'll see. So we have that. And that'll be for her probably someday. And I hope she comes here because she's amazing. It's just like, wow, God, you're so cool. Because she believes. She went through God's process, and she had every life hurt you can imagine. Oh, it was ick. And she looked at me and said, my mind has been changed. That's supernatural. Our gospel is supernatural. Don't water it down. Don't dumb it down. That's a mistake. Don't do that. We don't want to miss any moments that God gives us. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. If you would, Justin, put up the Matthew scriptures that I gave you. I think you have them there. Okay. If he can put those up. All right, Matthew 1, 20 through 25. Now Joseph, but when he had considered this, now Joseph comes in, finds out that his wife-to-be is pregnant. Here's what happens. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Supernatural, okay? Saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Oh, can you imagine having a dream like that? She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Think about that. I mean, that is profound. Spend some time this week thinking about that. What was he feeling? What was it like? I don't know how he felt, but I wondered, I should say. But at the end of the day, the Lord decided this is what he needs, and he knew that would happen. He knew Joseph would react the way he did, and he knew Joseph was a key player, and he was a humble guy, and he needed this, and it was part of the fulfillment, and he knew Joseph would obey. I mean, that is one cool God. Every time we're talking to people about the Lord, take it all the way to who he is, who the Lord is. Not just what you're trying to get free from. We all want to be free from fear, from anxiety, from worry. We want to be in peace, okay? And we need that, and we need people to help us, you know, to be able to step in and say, oh, I got to give this to the Lord. Pray for me. Here's some scriptures, you know, try this. Yes, 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 and yes, always. But always take it higher. Always take it higher. Higher. Because that's where the faith will be released. And then people won't just keep trying and trying and trying, because you want genuine peace to push out the darkness. Because we carry the light. And so that light inside of us, like this, pushes that darkness right out. So when we're opening our mouth and we're speaking to people, that light inside of us is coming through our mouth, coming through our lips, coming through our eyes, coming through our hugs, pushing the darkness out of the people. And it's also increasing our faith. So that's what we want to do. This is so great. Can you put up the Isaiah scripture? It's Isaiah 7. Now, this is a prophecy from the book of Isaiah. Excuse me. And this prophecy is strong. And I've had many discussions over this particular prophecy. It's one word, one verse. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Let me read it again. Therefore, now this is before Mary's time, obviously. It's back hundreds of years before. Isaiah is speaking this, therefore, and he's giving the prophetic messianic prophecy. Messianic, Jesus is the Messiah, prophecy. Do you think Mary knew this? Do you think she was taught this in school or at home? Probably. And now she's the one. Like, what? Me? Are you talking about someone else? Think about that. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. God with us. You know, I shake when I read that and go, oh, and I've read it for a long time. Read it over. Speak it to your family. Speak it to your friends. Speak it. Help them see that this Jesus is worth living for and dying for. This Jesus who by the Spirit lives inside of us isn't just little Jesus who comes into our heart. This is the King of glory who comes in, who says, I want you to carry me. You're carrying the light. I am the light of the world. But the light of the world is inside of you. So you go into the darkness with the light. But if you have mixture inside where you're not so sure, you don't want to offend someone, I'm not mocking that. We don't want to intentionally offend. But Jesus was the offense. He was the stone that would make men stumble. He is called the rock that would make men fall. They'd have to fall all over him. Here he is in plain sight. Jesus himself. So he is the rock of offense. So we carry that inside of us. And we do our very best to become the message of grace, real grace, which is the divine empowerment. Say this, would you please? Divine empowerment. Okay, so Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your favor, which is divine empowerment. Mary was divinely empowered. She received grace from God to receive this message. And he knew where she'd be, what she'd be doing, and where her heart would be. It's just so cool to see this divine setup. Surely he knows what I'm going to do later on today. If he's got this figured out, surely he knows what's going to happen next week, right? Surely he knows what's going to go on in your family line. Surely he knows everything that he wants to bring as a fulfillment for what we're contending for in our families, with our friends, the ministries. He's saying, come on. One thing I saw yesterday that, you know, I talked about before we even went out to Walmart, I said one of my favorite things is the very end of the show, so to speak, where everybody is just after, you know, talking about what was so great, was so cool, look what God did, oh my gosh. And we're whipping this place back into shape. It didn't look like this yesterday, you know. But there was so much unity. I'm watching everybody just with tears in my eyes. During all of it, everything from the clothing room to the kids' classes to all the announcements that were made to the pictures that were taken to the food that was prepared to the service to the ministering that was going on, people talking to each other, the wrapping of presents, and I'm probably missing a ton of things, the dances and dramas up here, all of it. It was like, God, look at your people working together and actually liking one another, loving one another. And not vying for a spot. They're hearing you. You're clearly leading people right now. it was beautiful. So anyway, that was another big highlight. But let's keep going here. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And what is it? 1203. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Okay, before Mary responds, remember, hey, Mary, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going down. This is what I'm going to do. This is what your response is going to be, because this is who he is. Can you imagine this supernatural moment? It's not, Mary, just don't be afraid. It's going to be okay. I know you're pregnant. You're going to be pregnant here right now through this word, this impartation. He's saying, God himself is saying, this is who you're carrying. This is the great I am. This is the one who is the fulfillment of Matthew, of Isaiah 7. This very one is going to grow inside of you. Now, wouldn't that cause most people to go, you crazy? I ain't doing this. But when you have God speaking, and he speaks through the word, he's speaking to us. He says, read my word. Spend time in my word. Spend time. And you'll have that same, oh. And it will grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Let's keep moving. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? Good word. I don't know if it was always on her lips, but she was thinking about that and thinking about Joseph, I'm sure. The angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now notice the progression here. He's telling her, don't be afraid. This is what's going to happen. This is who Jesus is. I'm going to answer your question because it's in faith and it's not in resistance. You're not quenching me. You're not grieving me. And those two words should be, for me anyway, they are, in this season, am I quenching you, Holy Spirit, inside of me? Because I've got my ideas. I've got my plans. I've got my thoughts. And I just keep rehearsing these over and over and over again, and maybe for a long time. So it's got to be you. How many times have we actually said, am I quenching you? Am I grieving you? Are we afraid to do that? We shouldn't be, because the Lord says, listen, I love you. I'm the boss. I'm in charge. I'll show you. And if you can't see it, I'll show somebody else. And they'll help you see it if you listen. But if you won't listen, you'll see it eventually. It may not be so pretty. We don't want to quench. We don't want to grieve. I'm not going to teach on that. I did that a couple weeks ago. But we don't want to quench him. That means hold him back, because we've got our plan. We've got our thinking. And we're together in our agreement. We agree together, so it must be you, God. That scares me, for me. So we're a good buffer, Bill and I. Because he'll say, and I'll say, you know. That's why he put us together, I guess, among other things. But it's good, because we don't want to quench him. And we don't want to grieve him with thinking, we got this. Mm-mm. That's not smart. We really need to be able to go like this. Whoa. I mean, when I listened to these people last night renouncing stuff in the occult, it's like, you think they were thinking that when they came in here last night? It wasn't a retreat. 3 days of love and grace, and I'm all about that. You know, we're retreat masters here for many years, at least in the past. We haven't done one in the last couple of years, but we will. We will. But I'm telling you, this was fast and furious, because that was God's timetable. That's God. I think Mary was kind of like, whoa, wait a minute here. Did you know that I was, whatever I was doing? You know, it says in here she's doing her jobs, whatever that would be. But it wasn't, let me sit down and have a fireside chat with you. It wasn't. It was Angel Gabriel coming and saying, this is my job. I'm reporting for duty, and I'm talking to you. And here's what he says. And the most sensitive one in the kingdom of God, because it's his kingdom and he is the king, is speaking. So therefore, it's okay. So when it's God, it's okay. He's just waiting for us to allow him to help us move ourselves out of the way a little bit, so we can see whether we grieve or quench. Okay, let's keep going. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, mother of John the Baptist, Elizabeth. For nothing will be impossible with God. We quote that. It's on our mugs. It's on our t-shirts. It's everywhere. Yes, God, nothing will be impossible with you. And he goes, yes, that's so true, but you're quenching and grieving me. Did you know that? No, I don't know that. But nothing will be impossible with you. It goes together because he cares so much. And that's why he didn't want to leave Joseph in a lurch, because Joseph was really having a hard time. So he gave him a dream. And he said, okay, I'm going to lay it out. This is what's going to happen, and you're going to do this. Oh, the holy fear of God came all over Joseph, just like the holy fear of God consumed Mary. So Mary said, behold, this is her response. I just love this, because I run my life through this grid. And then I think, am I really a bondslave? Am I really a bondservant? Do I really fit that? Have I gone through, am I still there? My heart says yes. The years I've been doing this says yes. But I care more about, what do you say? What do you say? And I don't walk with any condemnation. I'm free. There's no condemnation. When we go to our King, when we believe he's that faithful and he's that good. So Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. So basically she's saying, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm in. I'm all in. Well, you know what? When we say I'm in, I'm all in, guess what? It can be very challenging. Has anyone ever said that? I'm all in, God. Have you all said that? I've said it many times. I still say it. Is it challenging? Is it hard? But you know what? The more we're in the Word, I'd like to say the challenges get easier. I can just say the faith grows. And I understand why the challenges are there. And he's with me in the challenges. And some of them can end more quickly if I do it God's way, for sure. But I still have some challenges, and that's okay. Because I understand more about suffering for Jesus and more what faith will, what will happen as I go through life the right way. Again, just a little, throw that out here. 1 Peter 1, just read it. 2, 3, 4, and 5. The whole book is just amazing. 1 Peter is just great. And when you're finished with that, read 2 Peter. I mean, it's just really good. Just in all of your Christmas stuff, you know, just read it and go, oh, I didn't say that. I didn't know that. You mean that's what's required of me? Oh, I better get the Amplified out. Oh, that's what it says. That's what I do. Like, oh boy. Okay, conviction. So now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah. Keep going. And entered the house of Zacharias, greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, John the Baptist, not named here, leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Spirit. I would say that's some kind of greeting and meeting. Something supernatural was going on, right? So Jesus is all over this one, and he's all over anything in our life at all. He's just saying, will you allow me to bring conviction to you? Please allow me. My spirit is really good at that. I can use a preacher up here. I can use you just reading it yourself. I can use you just laying and worshiping me, but actually putting all of these things in front. I just think that's clear. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? This is Elizabeth, cousin Elizabeth. How could that be? For behold, when the sound of your greeting, I read this over and over and over this morning, this verse, read it a zillion times like you guys, right? But listen to it. For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. The sound of your greeting, the greeting. Okay, Mary was so filled with the awesomeness of God, so filled with the fear of the Lord, so filled with the joy, so filled maybe with who knows what apprehension, but faith. She had faith to say, let it be done unto me. Who knows what other emotions are swirling around. But because she was filled up and she had agreed with God,
whoa, look what happened. It was a game changer. As soon as she went in there and she saw Elizabeth, who had John the Baptist in her womb, it's like, what? At the sound of her greeting, whatever that was, hello, darling cousin, greetings on high, however it was said, we only get part of it, right? Something happened supernaturally. I believe when we leave this place with all of this truth and all of this power being released into us, is pushing out anything that gets in the way, and the Lord is saying, I'm filling you up, I'm filling you up, I'm filling you up, I'm filling you up, come on. And the sound of your greeting is going to hit someone, and they're not going to know what happened. And it's not going to be just because you're a nice girl or a nice guy or you got it down and you know how to do stuff. It's going to be because the power of God is on you and in you, and that light that has invaded you is going out. And that's the sound of our voice. Come on. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Look at this again and count yourself in this. Okay? Put your name in it. Look at this. Blessed is John Doe. Say your name. Blessed am I who believes that there will be a fulfillment of what's been spoken to me by the Lord. Know what he has spoken. But at the same time, be willing to shift, because sometimes what has been spoken is filtering through our own stuff and our own ideas, and sometimes even our own rebellion that's been hidden and we don't, you know. It's very hard to really submit to other people in the name of the Lord. Ooh. Because it goes against everything. Like, what does that mean? But when we're completely saturated in love with Jesus, we can submit to other people. We can submit to each other. We can understand God's hierarchy, all that. We can understand it and not be bothered and still fulfill our destiny. It's just crazy how this works in the spirit. The Lord is saying, I'm not making it hard. It's actually easier than you think. It's just that the stuff that gets in the way gets in the way. But when we read the Bible, it's like, wow. I'm not going to sing it this morning. I actually had this thought. You're going to laugh. But the ones who were with me at Heritage Christian School years ago, including my kids, oh, my gosh, and a few others, I was walking around my kitchen singing, therefore as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. It's with one another. Which binds us all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. For whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, well, it gets... That's really good. I did know it back in the day. Well, thank you, team, for supporting that a few years ago. That's awesome. But you know what? If you think about those words, it's in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Let me just tell you. What do you say? What'd you say? Really? Oh, praise God. Okay. Long time ago, 33 years ago. But I can tell you that obviously those words, you can remember songs. But those words are so powerful because they're straight out of the Word. Just like Mary said, let it be done unto me according to your word. Come on. God is so good. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Go through it. I think it was NIV back in the day when we did it, if I'm not mistaken. But it's really, really powerful. Saying it all. So let's finish it up here. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. That's verse 45. And what I want to do is close by reading to you. Let's put the Magnificat up here. Because it's very important, because Mary was seen as such a holy woman. And she was. And I think she would be absolutely appalled at the veneration of her in this world as the lowly bondservant. I absolutely am sure of that, especially from the word, but even inside, I think she would just say, what are you folks doing? You don't understand. But if you read the word of my son, you will be free, and you'll be free to soar. Okay, well, let's look at this. This is in verse 46, 46 through 56, and then we'll close. Up there? Okay. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord. This should be us. My soul exalts you, Jesus. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. In who? Does she need a Savior? Was she born without sin? Just saying. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. And behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Who is this about, by the way? It's about him. And holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. Not her. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. So after she gave birth, more than likely, as he spoke, then returned to her home. I think it was as he spoke. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias, after this, the father. We're going to stop right there. Actually, that went a little bit further, but let me end with this. What happened in the community? Now remember, Mary is a sign and a wonder, and it's not a good sign, and people were wondering. It's a good sign from God's perspective, but she stood out like a sore thumb. But what did the scripture say that we read? What did the community do? Did they gather around her? Did they rejoice with her? Did they see that God was doing something? Didn't we just read the scripture? The point is this, is that when we live in this world, we're not an island to ourselves. But when we're giving the true gospel of the kingdom in all its fullness, the Lord will make a way, even with our strange situations. We may feel like an alien. We may feel like a person who doesn't have a home, and we're called to live from a heavenly perspective. Yes, we invade culture. Yes, we invade communities. Yes, we invade the nations. But we go as an alien, as a foreigner. That's what we do. And if we lose sight of that, we can go into these places with mixture. If we go into places with mixture in our own heart, then we're trying to help other people just feel comfortable so they're not too offended with who we carry. And that's a mistake. And so Mary was taken and brought into the forefront. The big mistake was right there. How many people do you think believed that she was the mother of Jesus here on this earth? How many people do you think believed that? The ones that she spoke to, the ones that she was able to minister to, the ones that she was able to go out and touch, those people were touched by the great awakening that went on inside of her. And those are the ones that God said, those are the ones you're going to affect, and those are the ones you're going to infect. And the rest will just watch it happen. And maybe they will come to the brightness of God's glory, and maybe they won't, but maybe they will. So don't compromise in this Christmas season. Don't do that. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Be true to who you really are and step out in faith and trust God with the results that might make you feel foolish at first. Because sometimes God will just set you up and say, go ahead, pray for that person. And then you have 300 people from a purple marching band looking at you. Or whatever else it would be. Step out and be willing to be seen and noticed as being one who is definitely different. And you will affect people. And people who might have other places in the community, other places in your family, other places in this state, other places in political realms, other places. It doesn't matter. What matters is who you are and who you hold fast to. And then you invade the darkness that way. Say, Jesus, help me be bold. Help me be strong. Help me be courageous. And don't listen to this. Listen to the Spirit of the living God inside who will challenge us. Definitely. Definitely. I'm going to pray right now. Can we have somebody come up on the keys as we close here? That would be great. Thank you, somebody. So let's just pray and believe. Because I believe the conviction of the Holy Spirit is here. And he's showing us different things for our own lives. So I'm just trusting right now that, Father, as we're sitting here listening, Lord, we're willing to change directions. We're willing to change our thinking. We're willing to change whatever it is that you're really speaking to us right now. So let's just close our eyes and commune with him as we just rest in the presence of the beautiful Jesus right now. Holy Spirit, you're right now in our midst. Thank you, Lord, that you change not. You are who you are. You are who you said you are and were. And you're faithful in your coming. And Father, with all the pomp and circumstance in our life, you're leading us into a place of freedom inside to be able to say, let it be done unto me according to your word, and let me change in the midst of this. I do not want to grieve you. I do not want to offend you, Lord. I don't want to quench your spirit. I don't want to hold back your fire. I want to honor you above all humans. And I want that voice that I think is yours to be challenged. And I'm willing to submit myself to that challenge, Lord. Because you put me in a community of people. You put me with real people, imperfect as people are, but you put me with people to help me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let it be, Father, that as you birthed such great humility in Mary, that you so desire to do the same in me, that I could take these words of life and run with them, that I would run to your cross, but I would also know that you're not on the cross, and that everything that you carried for me on my behalf was buried, and that your resurrection power and life lives inside of me right now. And I so want to scream that from the mountaintops. I can't contain that fire, who you are. I can't contain that light. I won't hold that back in any way. I will allow you and ask you to propel through me the very power of the living God who raised you, Jesus Christ, from the dead. That's what I want, Lord. That's what Mary wanted. That's what I want. I thank you, Lord, that you're no respecter of persons. Whether I'm a baby in Jesus just meeting you yesterday, or I've walked with you for 40 years or more or less. I just thank you, Lord, that today is a day of challenge. Today is a day where you challenge my thinking. You challenge my mind. You challenge how good I can get things done. You challenge everything about me. And you say, son, daughter, lay it down. And let me speak to you how great I am and how much I love you out of that greatness. Receive that today, beloved. Receive that today. Thank you, Lord. Don't be too big. Don't be too full to not be willing to change. Change your thinking. Change the way you think. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let it be as we're filled with fire and we're filled with your rejoicing today.
because you love us so much. We're like the snowflakes that are on our back wall here. Joe was given the idea and created those for the kids to come up with their own way and plan, that each one has an imprint. Each snowflake is different, just like each one of us is an imprint of the Almighty God, made in the image of God. But without knowing who He is, that doesn't get us very far. But Father, we say yes and amen, that that's how big You are. You are so amazing that You didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. But You also said, I came to set the captives free and to bring conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment so that you can be free. The full gospel, Lord Jesus Christ, let it be. We give You praise this morning. We give You glory. We thank You, Jesus, for touching us. We're so excited about what's to come next week, and the week after, and the week after. Lord, may Your name be praised during this Christmas season beyond what we've ever thought before or imagined. Fill us up, Holy Spirit, just like last night, seeing babies in Jesus saying, fill me with Your Spirit, God. Last night, fill me with Your Spirit, God. And You did, because You're that big. Do it today, Lord. Fill us up to overflowing. Let Your anointing that breaks the yoke just fill us with fresh oil today. Fresh oil, fresh manna, fresh oil from heaven. May it be done unto us according to Your word. Great and mighty things the Lord has for each one of you in this season. You be blessed. You run out of here with joy in your heart, just knowing that the Lord says, come here. I've changed some things. I've gotten some cobwebs out. So you're freer inside to be who you are, be who you're created to be. Go get them, Jesus says. Just go tell it on the mountain and be bold, be strong, be filled with courage. And He gave the courage and boldness to Mary, and He does it for each one of us. In Jesus' name, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, those that came today that were our guests last night, you proved something. That it wasn't just a one-time event, but it goes on from there, doesn't it? You can walk it out through your whole life after that. So you proved it by coming back this morning. So we bless you. We bless you. And you can invite others that you're aware of that were here or beyond that to come with you. And continue to come and go after what God has for you. Don't forget, we're in the midst of a hilarious giving opportunity for the month of December. We make this available to you to give to the needs this month. Obviously, they're beyond the normal needs because of Gift of Christmas and reaching out to the children in India in two different locations, our children's home as well as outside Rajahmundry with Pastor Abraham and Pastor Andrew's children's ministry. And we'd like to send that out before Christmas. So guess what? It's getting close, isn't it? So thank you for those that have responded. It's been amazing. And we thank you for your hearts and listening to the Lord in that response. We remember we said you could have a special year-end offering to the FMI General Fund, beginning to tithe or returning to regular tithing, joining the frontline global partners, paying off mission balances if that applies to you, catching up on the frontline children's home sponsorship of $35 a month, the yearly school fees, and the Christmas gift of $40 if you're a sponsor of our children's home. You know what that means, and those things need to come in so that we can send them out. If you're a sponsor, you can check with Carly on where you are with your sponsorship, or you could start to be a sponsor for Frontline Children's Home, $35 a month. There's yearly school fees that are due typically in June, and a Christmas gift this time of year, we ask for $40. You can see Carly on that as well if you want to start that up for a child in India. You can contribute to our annual gift of Christmas, which we already completed, but obviously the expenses will still be coming in. And so that's listed there for you. Or you can contribute to Pastor Andrew's children's home. It's in a village outside of Rajahmundry, and we normally send money to that children's home so they can be blessed with what they take care of, what they purchase. And then at the end of this sheet, if you haven't seen it yet, there's two challenges to answer a call of action. And if you've not filled that out, it would be a good thing to do. Whether God leads you to give or he doesn't, it's still a good spiritual exercise at the end of this sheet, and it's decorated in holiday fashion for you so you can enjoy it and have joy in it. Also, don't forget that last week we had a time of action and decree, and that's out in the lobby as well. You can pick one of those up and be decreeing in this season as we approach the new year, declaring things out for your life. It's a powerful exercise. There's scriptures on here. There's categories that you can be standing on as you enter the new year. And I would encourage you to take one of those and begin decreeing that for yourself and for your family, and you will be blessed. We thank you for all that you're doing in this season to step forward. Don't forget, next Sunday is quite the blowout time, and we'll need for you to look at your calendar and say, here we go. We're going to give the whole day to Jesus and reach out to people, just like yesterday. Father, we thank you, God, for all you're doing in this time. Bring in your resources, Jehovah Rapha. As we said, you bring it in for those that were here yesterday, that you have a name for every need. We believe the same for frontline and all the ministry that we do, especially in this season, God. You have a name for this ministry to rely on as you provide the resources to bless others. We give you all the glory, Father, for what you're doing in this season. Look forward to a celebration of our Christmas service next Sunday, God.